From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're in the desert now, 3 days. A crowd of about 4,000 mixed Jews and pagans clamoring to get near to Christ. The apostles have done their best to protect him from being mobbed, to maintain some order in the crowd. But they're hungry now, the crowd and the apostles, and they're tired, and it's hot. It's mid-July, and they are in the desert, and they may be feeling faint. It's been 3 days. Can you imagine going that long without food? Our Lord announces to the apostles that he has compassion on the crowd. He's kept them waiting, he says. He's tried their patience. This is the third day now. And if he sends them home like this, they'll break down on the way. That's the original Greek. Makes you think of a car or a person having a breakdown. His disciples, and I'm thinking that's probably St. Peter, respond with a cry of distress, exasperation. Well, how could anyone feed them here in the desert? Besides, this is pagan territory. It's Decapolis, the federation of 10 cities, not under King Herod. And the apostles are thinking, you're not going to get any clean food here, any kosher meals. They're pagans. I think this cry of desperation would be heard more often today, despite our renowned American pluck for doing the best under bad circumstances, if we had any idea of how things actually are. On this foundational feast, the 4th of July, 2021, Saints Peter and Paul in Rome, the foundation stones of the church, and for our country, its founding. Now, the founding fathers were none of them saints. Many of them were Freemasons. Most of them were deists with a vague idea of a distant God who doesn't intervene too much in human affairs. But they were devoted to the natural law, which is saying something today. We've been considering these last weeks the first great persecution of the church at Rome under the Emperor Nero. The other week I found something I've been looking for about 30, 35 years. It's the radio address I came across once, given by Pope Pius XII for the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul in 1941, which was a low point in the World War. The world was enveloped in war, a Holocaust, the church herself threatened, and so many people. Have you ever asked yourselves, the Pope addressed his audience, what must have been the fears and the feelings of the small group of Christians scattered throughout that great pagan city of Rome, when, after having hurriedly buried the bodies of the two great martyrs, they gathered together, for the most part, in their little rooms as slaves or poor working men, and some of them, of course, wealthy in their palaces. But they felt themselves all alone, as if orphaned through the departure of these two great apostles. Before their eyes, there still rose the horrible vision of the human torches smoking by night in the imperial gardens, the mangled bodies breathing out their life in the arena and along the roads. In that bloody sunset, how their hearts must have constricted with fear and sorrow, upon finding themselves without the comfort, the company of these two powerful voices, now stilled. Nevertheless, we seem to see at the next assembly, in the midst of that bereft community, the successor of Peter elected, Saint Linus. And there he is, taking between his hands, which are trembling with emotion, he's an old man when he's chosen, the pages that preserved the precious text of the letter which had been sent to them by the founding apostle, Saint Paul. And then he reads from it a little. Over this you must rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are made sorrowful by various trials. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your anxiety upon him. Now that's faith. That's firm-founded, not foundering faith, built upon a rock, the divine revelation, Saint Peter. This is how saints then and now knew how to look at things. Saint Peter transmitted the power of the keys to his successor, Saint Linus. It was only a few days, and there was another pope. For us, it's been almost 70 years we've been waiting, not 3 days, and we are feeling sometimes faint, waiting for the foundation stone upon which rests the church, which in turn supports the stability of all of society, and that is gone. St. Paul is with us, though. Almost every day, he preaches at Holy Mass. St. John Chrysostom says, Paul has the keys of wisdom. He's the teacher of the Gentiles, and he's the preacher of the truth. How are things today? The words of St. Peter, in that same epistle, seem to ring true. In a way, he wrote, the desire of the pagans, walking in dissipation, lusts, drunkenness, revelings, carousing, the worship of idols. But you know, unlike the pagans of old, nobody's happy with all of those sins. There's only conflict and darkness, tearing down and turmoil. But this, listen to this, he writes. They are amazed that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, and they abuse you. But the end of all things is at hand. Colonial America was a far cry from pagan Rome, our American history. It is amazing to consider how everything has degenerated in just over 2 centuries. Speech, I mean, education, morals, modesty, manners, and of course, money. But the Catholics back then were just as bitterly persecuted by the Protestant governments as some Christians are in the one world today persecuted by pagan governments, and it is especially bitter if the pagans still call themselves Catholics. Confusing, isn't it? But it is so by chance. In most colonies, you know, it was a crime to attend Mass. And there were very few priests, and they were all of them circuit riders, branded as criminals. The first priest ordained in America, this was after the Revolution, was Father Stephen Batten of Kentucky fame. He was given, on the day of his ordination, his mass kit. to saddlebags and a horse and told to go. So great was the need, there was no banquet for that ordination. New York had the two strikes and you're out law. A Catholic priest was expelled the first time he was caught, and the second time he was to be executed. They even had their own false flag myth to unite them in their lies. The gunpowder plot, a supposed plan to blow up Parliament in London, a conspiracy, don't you know, of Catholics. If the wealthy wanted their children educated, they had to send them abroad. It was forbidden for Catholics to have any schooling. They had to pay in Maryland an exorbitant tax to do so, £100. Estimates vary, but that was something between $50,000 and $100,000 in our buying money. However, the persecution has always proved the innate strength of an institution that passes beyond man-made laws. Truth cannot be crushed. And because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth, it rises again in renewed strength. Consider how many movements, how many religions, how many cults and creeds have risen up and flourished for a while and then vanished again, perhaps at the first test that came to try them. The power of the church to rise after 3 days dead from every trial, from every persecution, is an unquestionable test of her truth. She passes that test. Her ability to reach out and to claim her children in spite of obstacles, in spite of hindrances, to hold them to her, that's another test of the truth of our faith, verified by history. Now, will all of this, this more than a crisis, this lockstep world domination, led and cheered, think of it, both by Pope and President, both claiming falsely the Catholic name, will all of this pass? Well, one thing is certain, my words will not pass away. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You'll hear a lot about liberty today if you're tuning in. It's Independence Day, after all, the 4th. And in a sense, they have marvelously shrunken our liberties in this land of the free and home of the brave. But that's the pagan persecution. They preach the doctrine of unhindered liberty. You make your own reality, and the rest of us must adjust to it. But that today, unhindered liberty, is twinned with unhinged tyranny, and that on a world scale. Freedom, freedom's holy light, the liberty wherewith God hath made us free, still shines bright, unchanged. St. Thomas Aquinas explains that freedom is the ability to choose the good. This is all we have ever asked for. This is our bread in the wilderness, this Independence Day. And on this, we must insist. For it, we will resist. Strengthened by the true bread which came down from heaven, with which today, against all expectation, here in the wilderness, we are fed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.